chapter 4 as we continue on in our study in Hebrews. We'll be looking today, very familiar verses. God's sword is the title of this message, God's sword. You think about that many times. I know in Ephesians, we'll reference that. I know that in Ephesians chapter 6, we talk about the armor of God, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of truth, or the belt of truth, these things that we know, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And then it talks about the only offensive weapon that we have is the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And so just the thought of that, the Word of God and what it means. And so the writer of Hebrews was so, he wanted this church to know, and this church that was under huge persecution. We talked about all through it about drifting and thinking back about going back to Judaism, and he wanted them to know the importance of God's Word this morning. I want you to know that importance. We've already heard it referenced many times today, the importance of God's Word. And whether, think about this, the first four chapters are dealing with, that we went through, are dealing with the supreme Word of God. And so we'll see that today as we go that. Let's go ahead before we go any further and get our, let's get our Word of God, our copy of it, whether it's electronically or however, or pew Bible in front of you if you don't have a Bible you brought with you, and open it up that you can see that what I'm preaching to you is the Word of God and not my words, but thus says the Lord. And so we'll be looking at chapter 4, just two verses. You're very familiar with them when you hear them. Verses 12 and 13 today is what we'll be looking at. The Word of God says this: "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And is that, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I pray, let it go forth, touch our hearts right where we're at, for your glory, in Christ's name." And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. So we're thinking about this sword, this Word of God, and the writer, and how he's trying to show them the importance of the Word of God. Has anybody here ever been cut by the Word of God? 28 years old, I came under the sword, the knife, the scalpel of God's Word. He dissected me there in the chair as the man of God got up and he preached the Word of God and talked about the peace of God that I knew that I did not have. I had tried to make church work. I had tried to make my relationship the way I wanted it with God, and I had failed miserably. But that night, the scalpel of God opened my soul and showed me where I was a sinner and that I just needed to give it over to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was the day that I came in contact with the sword of God, the scalpel of God, as he works on it. Aren't we glad for that? How he can, I don't know how many times I've heard people say as I'm leaving, "Boy, that message was for me." I don't preach any message for any one person. It's just the Word of God. And to be honest with you, it's already cut the dickens out of me before I ever get up here. All right? It's sliced and diced is what I like to say. I'll be in the study many times. I can't tell you at the times that Sandy can testify. Just sit over there and cry, weep. Why? Because I've been cut to the quick by the sermon I'm preparing to preach to the people that I love that has cut me deeply. And so a lot of Sunday mornings, that's what you've seen, just what it's done in my own heart. And so the Word of God's like that. And as we think about what Paul said in Romans 10, what does he say? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. Nobody gets saved outside of it. How important is it to our life? I want us to think about this Word of God, the sword of God. And let's look at four truths that we can learn about God's Word this morning from these two verses. First is what? It's powerful. Can anybody say amen? It's powerful. 12a, what does it say? The Word of God is living and it's powerful. Remember now the context of these verses. We don't just pull it out, never pull it out, but we've been walking through this. The context of this verse is a warning. It's a warning to these, to this church, to these people that were thinking about pulling away, trying to figure it out, where to go and turn. And if we've ever been there, we know exactly where that's. So this is not just a feel-good, smooth it over this morning, but it's in the context of a warning. And so that the writer here is wanting them to know, do not harden your hearts. How many times have we heard that over the last three or the two chapters that we studied? Do not harden your hearts. Do not harden your hearts. The way that we don't harden our heart, or our heart does not become the Word of God, keep it pliable and keep it open to receive what God has us. And so remember that. The Word of God is powerful. How is it powerful? Look, it's alive. What does it say? It's living. Living. It's always working. It's always quickening its message to the human heart. The Word of God is living. It's the life is in itself. This Word has changed so many countless lives. Look at the life sitting in this room today that it's changed. It's alive. How is it alive? It's effective. When we hear it, it affects our life. It changes our life when we receive it. It's effectual, has power. What does that mean? It does what it sets out to do. It will not return void. We know Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper at the time for which I send it." He says it goes out. So every Sunday that it's preached, every Sunday that it's taught, every day that you read it, every day that you come in contact with it, it will fulfill its purpose. Why? Its purpose, because it's alive. It's alive. Think about the written Word of God introduces us what? To the living God. And it wounds us, and it convicts us and guilts us and shows us our sin. It's alive. It's alive like nothing else that you'll read. I love Martin Luther, the great reformer. He said this, "I'm bound in conscience to the Word of God." Why was that? That's why he could say, "Sola Scriptura, in Scripture alone do I stand." He reformed the Great Reformation, and we're a product of that. Scripture alone. He said, "I'm bound in conscience to it." Before, only the priests in Latin, and they didn't have the Word of God that they could take, and so they relied on a man that got up, and guess what? A man is fallible. A man will let you down, but the Word of God never will. And it's your place that you take it, and you read it, and you don't trust a man behind a pulpit, but you trust the Word of God and what it says, and this man better be preaching the Word of God. If he's not, what good is it? What good is it? And so it's alive. And I love that the word living, look, is a present, active participle. What's it indicating? It's continuous. The Bible is continuously alive. You know what? There's something up-to-date and contemporary about this word. People say, well, it's out of date. It was written thousands of years ago. Well, that's true. That's true by different authors over a huge span of time. But you know what? Its original author was God. And he's not out of date. I don't know about you, but God's not out of date this morning. In fact, he's trying to reach. And how is it that we can read it? It was written to audiences and in certain situations and contexts thousands of years ago, and yet it was as if it was been written this morning to us. Living in our... He's living in my house. Have you ever had God? You say, man, that word, Lord, it touches my life. And that's because it's alive. It's up to date. Not only is it alive, but what does it say? It's active. Look, powerful. That word powerful, we get our word energized from. Oh, yeah. But what do you make you think when I say energized? You see that bunny, don't you? We get our word energized from it. It brings life from death. Hello? Brings life from death. It's powerful. It energizes the soul. It energizes the person that receives it. It makes that person alive. You know, once I was dead, but now I am alive because of the Spirit and the Word of God that has taken hold. The Word of God brings activity where there's been inactivity. He brings activity. It's productive. See that when people receive Christ. Never, and you hear me always talking about, never take that for granted, how awesome that is, because you're watching a miracle when people walk from death into the light of life, into Christ. And he's talking about it's this word, it's active. And you know what, when I read this scripture, no matter where I turn, and it's not talking about a fictitious character or something. It's talking about coming in contact with the life-giving Jesus Christ and his gospel and what he's given us and how it is that we can be alive and we can be active. It's through that Christ that we find in the pages of this word. It doesn't matter where I turn, Old Testament or New, it's pointing to him. It's all about Christ. It's active and it's powerful. I can come face to face with the living God through Jesus Christ, His Son. Think about that. Enter into a relationship, Lee. A relationship that scripture, that I can come boldly. Not like, hey, I can come boldly. I'm a pastor. No, I come with confidence, not in myself. I don't have confidence in myself. I have confidence in my Savior and what He's done. And that means when I go on my knees or I stand and pray or wherever I am, I have confidence that He hears my prayer like Danny said. Why? Because it's Jesus' blood that I come before the living God in Jesus' name. Wow, that's active. That's alive. It's powerful. But not only is it powerful, look at verse 12b. It's penetrating. Look, what does it say? Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. It's sharper. It's like that sword that we talk about, that sword of the Spirit. It's sharp to begin with. What? Sharp means to cut. We don't have to say, what does that mean? To cut. That's when something's sharp. You always tell your kids, well, you be careful. Why? It's sharp. Sharp cuts. It doesn't leave our soul alone, aren't you glad? It penetrates and it convicts. How many of us have ever been convicted by the Word of God? Straight to the heart. Penetrating. It's sharp. I love, if you remember, when old Stephen's standing before the crowd and he's testifying right before they'll take his life in Acts chapter 7. And all he's doing is walking them through the very Word of God. They knew it when they heard it. He's not giving them his own words. He's walking them through their whole history, through the Word of God. And you know what? When he gets to the end, and what does he say? He says, and you killed him. And what did it say? They were cut to the heart. Cut to the heart. Penetrated them. Cut to the heart. That's what he's talking about. It's sharp. And I'm going to tell you, when it talks about two-edged, and I've already alluded to it today, when you're preaching it out, it's cutting going, and it's cutting coming, okay? That's how two-edges do. It cuts both ways. And sometimes I can be up here and preaching the very Word of God, and it's cutting me to ribbons, and you don't even know it on the inside because of my own preaching and through it, because it's the Word of God. It does that. It can do that, and it will do that if we allow it. Remember, it's the sword of the Spirit, not the sword of the preacher, not the sword of the congregation, the sword of God. It's His Word. It's sharp, but also look, it's separating. What does it say? Piercing. And that word means to go through. It goes right to the heart and it brings conviction. Isn't it amazing how God, it doesn't matter how self-righteous that we find ourselves or if they be thinking we have arrived, that the Word of God penetrates that heart and it shows us that we have a long way to go. I don't know about you. I got a long way to go. I can still sing that old song. He's still working on me. It ain't just for kids. Okay? He's still working. And what does it do? That God's Word penetrates the hard shell of lost souls. It's like a knife through hot butter. We'll give that analogy sometimes. That's what the Word of God does. Even to what? The division of soul and spirit. Listen, until salvation comes, a man's spirit is dead and entombed in his soul. When God's Word penetrates our soul, it divides that spirit of man, and the takeover of the soul and body becomes possible. This is what happens on the inside when we're saved. God's Word goes in and it penetrates even the hard shell of a lost soul. And it separates that. And you know what? We go from death to life and we're quickened unto life because of the penetration of the sword, God's Word, in our life. Aren't you glad that He does those things? It says, and of joints and marrow, external and internal, the work of God. The lost person, you think about, the lost person is concerned with the things of the world. The saved person is concerned with the things of the Word. It separates. It puts us on a different plane even when we're learning. How many of us, we could all say, hey, I don't need to read the Word anymore than what I do it. I already know it enough. Ain't nobody can raise their hand to that, are they? It's one of those things that will never be tapped completely. It's the thing that we study on and read on and work on. It should be daily in our lives, daily making a difference. How often do you eat? Yeah. were we going to go? Are we going to go 2 or 3 days without eating? There ain't many of us unless we're real sick. Or we might be fasting under the Lord. That's the only way. You're not going to go without food. How can we go without spiritual nourishment when it's God's Word? We've got to have that. We've got to be spiritually nourished daily. And so we've got to keep that in mind. So look, it illuminates. It speaks directly to us. It goes into the joints and the marrow. It's powerful. It's penetrating. But don't look at the last part of 12. It's probing. What does it say? And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Donnie, you touched on this in Sunday school today. When I heard it, I remembered I'd already been cut by it that week. Why? It shows us exactly what's going on. Hello? If you ever, we can even fool ourselves. We can fool one another. Act like God's Word, it probes into our, it discerns our, that word discerner, we get our word critic from. Critic. The Bible is the infallible critic. It judges, it sifts, it analyzes, even to the point of our motives. It knows why we do what we do. It's a discerner of the heart, the thoughts, and intents. You see, we can even fool ourselves, but we cannot fool God and His Word. His Word probes. If you remember old Peter, I go fishing. He takes his buddies with him, and they're out there on the sea, and they can't catch no fish. I know what that feels like, too. He fished hard all night. Catch you a load of fish. And there on the beach, you remember the sign? He looks down there on the beach, there's a fire going, there's somebody there, and you know, old John says, it's the Lord. Why? He said, cast your net on the other side. Children, what did they do? They filled it up, son. And they come face to face, and they realize, look, what are we doing? Here's God on the beach, and we're out here fishing, really, more or less. Peter, he jumps in the water and goes swimming to him, right? He wants Peter, the one that, hey, go tell Peter and my disciples, because why? He had denied him. And so he goes, and they're walking on the beach, and right, Jesus already got a breakfast cooking. He don't need their fish, right? He got a breakfast cooking and going, and he starts talking to Peter. What does he say? Peter, do you love me? You know, I hope you know the story. You need to get in there. If you don't, read it. It's in John. Peter, do you love me? He said, God, you know Jesus said, I love you. He goes on down. He said, well, feed my sheep. He goes a little further. Look, they're walking along, just rubbing shoulders with Jesus. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Go a little further. What did he say again? Peter, do you love me? What did Peter say? He finally gets it that we need to get. Lord, and he said he got aggravated. He said, Lord, you know all things. And this is the same man that said, I'll never deny you. I'll be with you when they all go. You know what? He had come face to face with himself, which we need to do many times. And you know what he said? Lord, you know. You know all things. He said, feed my sheep. He knows this morning. Okay? He knows. We can fool, put on a good mask and pretend. But you know what? He knows. Jesus knows right where we're at. It's probing, and it speaks to us, the thought and intents. Other people, they might see us as one thing, but God's Word examines what we do and why we do it. But lastly, think about it. It's powerful, it's penetrating, it's probing. But look at verse 13. It's personal. What does it say? And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all are naked and open to His eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. You know what he's saying? Listen closely. There's a reckoning. There's a reckoning coming. And we will give an account. And we can play around with sin, and we can play around with God, but we will give an account. There is a reckoning coming, he's saying, and it's personal. What does it say? Hey, nothing in all creation. There's nothing that's hidden from God. The eyes of God are everywhere. Listen to that this morning. Everywhere. Not just here. Everywhere you go. At home, in the secret places, in the things that we do that we think nobody else does or sees, God sees. He's everywhere. That's God. And it's personal. It's reckoning. And it says it's open. And that word open is such a unique word. Why is it? It means to put a knife to the throat. You say, what's he talking about? We actually get our word tracheotomy from it. Put a knife to the throat. What they did is somebody, a criminal that had been charged with this crime, and they're standing before the judge. Instead of him putting his head down and word shame, they stuck a knife under his throat so he couldn't put his head down. That's what that word means. And it says that it's open, that we're naked and open to the eyes of him what to whom we must give an account. So this is this idea of our head is not bowed, but it's open, and we're face to face with who? The living God. There's no way we drop our heads. We're eye to eye with God, and we're exposed. It says that we're naked before him. Vulnerable, helpless, held in the grip. I see myself in the grip of the Almighty God, and he's looking at me face to face, and there's no dropping my head, but I'm coming face to face with that God this morning. And he's gazing, and he looks right into my heart. He looks right into my motives, right into my intentions. And I don't know about you, but if we're living life all right, then that's not too frightening. But if we're not, that should scare the hound out of us this morning. Why? Because that's what it is. He's gazing right into our eyes. The living God, through the Word of God, that's penetrate and probes, and it's personal today. Who's it for? You. You and I. No, it's a terrifying thing. Remember, this is the living sword. A physical sword, we think about it. What does it do? It stabs living people, makes them dead. But this sword, our sword, the sword of the Spirit, the Bible, is a spiritual sword that stabs people and makes them alive. Completely opposite. When we're stabbed with the sword of God, it makes us alive. It's a sword of judgment as well, though. What does it do? It does what it says it's going to do. We're given a reckoning before a holy God, each and every one of us, personally. And it's a sword of sanctification as well. What does it do? It helps us to grow. It cuts deeply that we might die, and then it'll cut again that we might live. Allow God's Word to penetrate. Allow God's Word to speak to you this morning. Where are you at? Walk with God. Where are you this morning? Have you ever received Christ as your personal Savior? And whenever that word is asked you, you'll either devote, you'll say yes, or you'll say, well, I'm trying to figure it all out. Listen, you can't figure it out. You either are or you're not. You're either saved or lost. Do not gamble with eternity. Why? These very words will ring in your ear one day if you reject the living God in Christ. And that hurts, that bothers my heart as a preacher, that your words of the preacher, the Word of God, will ring in your ear for eternity that you're lost and you didn't receive Christ because you're too stubborn or you have something that you're putting in the way. Why would you do such a thing? Why? Why would you gamble with eternity this morning? Is there anything worth that? There's no guarantee of us leaving. Going out of these doors and making it home or even making it back. You cannot put a time frame on God. When is the time to get saved? Today is the day of salvation. Or maybe you've struggled with something for so long. Has anybody just struggled with something? And you, the reality of it is that the Word of God can overcome anything, any temptation, any sin in our life. And there's no use in you trying to do it because you can't. But the Word of God can. That's what it says. It's sharp. It's active. It's powerful. But it's also probing and personal. It's working if you have an area of need in your life now. You know what we'll do? We'll worry about what somebody's thinking. And we understand that from the preaching today that God is the only one that matters. He's the one that you're going to have to stand and give the reckoning before. None of us. No man. George Whitefield was a great preacher. And the story's told about a crowd of guys that were mocking him one day. They'd heard his sermon, and so one of the guys got up, and he was mocking George Whitefield, and he was preaching what George Whitefield was preaching word for word. And you know what it said? It says that he come under conviction by the own word because Whitefield was preaching the Word of God. And the guy got saved by his own preaching. That's the Word of God. Stood up mocking. Sit down, Son of God. Only God can do that. There's nobody, there's nothing in this room that God cannot claim. care where you've been, what you've done, whatever it is that might be on your list that the devil's using to keep you from getting right with God, you cannot even have to worry about it. You'll never be right. The only way you'll ever be right is to come under the conviction of the Word of God and say, you know what, I need to ask forgiveness. Just like Danny said today, there's them important words, Lord, forgive me. And He stands and waits for everybody. And He's not going to throw it in your face what you've done or what you've not done. He don't love you. Oh, man, here we go. He don't love, I told Jim, I think, this the other day. I don't have to do anything to make Him love me more. I'm not going to do anything to make Him love me less. That's love. That's the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians love. I don't have to earn it. The things I do and the reason I stand up here, I get to preach this word, the very words that saved me. And I'm hoping and praying that through the preaching of it that it'll touch somebody else. The reason I stand here is because of the love of Christ that's penetrated my own heart. And it can penetrate any heart today. God, that's love. That's 1 Corinthians 13. Only God has love like that. Applications and we'll be done. Listen, it says, we are laid bare before the living God this morning. What's He saying to you? See yourself before God. Blank out everything else. What's He saying to you? It's personal. Number two, do you know that you have this relationship with the living God? That's the most important question in this room this morning. Do you have that relationship? Number three, is there anything that you need to say to Him? If you're face to face with Him, you say, what's He saying to you? What are you saying to Him? Let's stand to our feet. Sarah, come and play, please. Listen, it's warm. You're sleepy. But God's working. What's He saying? What's He saying? Is He telling you to do something today? You need to do it. What's He saying? Are you lost? Have you ever come to that place where you said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I realize today I'm going to stand before You and give an account. And I'm asking You today, save me. Save me. Today's the day that He will save you. What is it that He's saying? Bow your heads before the Lord. What's He saying? Let God just do His business. If you need to come forward, come now. Don't hesitate. Why? Your hesitation will make it easier not to do. What's He saying to you? Open. Do you need to come forward? Don't worry about the time. What anybody else think? You and God. That's good, Sarah. Listen. I'm going to pray. Let's bow our heads again. Father, You know Your Word said it doesn't go out and not return void. Whatever work You're doing in hearts, if there's somebody here that didn't want to walk an aisle, but pray to ask Christ, receive Christ as their Savior where they're standing, you don't have to walk an aisle to be saved. But God, they'll make it known, and somebody will know. If there's somebody struggling, hurting, whatever it might be, I pray, God, that they'll give it unto You. Thank You for everybody here. I love them. And Lord, I just pray that You, God, speak to our hearts. Use us mightily. Use South Fork Baptist Church to make a difference in Your kingdom for Your glory in Christ's name. Amen. Listen, tonight, 6 o'clock, right here in the fellowship hall, I think there's some beans left too, right? And some beans and all that good stuff. So, you happy about that? Lemon cake. He's happy about the lemon cake. But listen, come back out, 6 o'clock. Got Kingdom Kids, and we'll have fellowship. We'll have Bible study, and so... we love you. Whatever we can do. Lee closes in prayer, huh? And youth and Kingdom Kids. So don't forget that. Come on out tonight. See, closes in prayer, Lee.